Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Friend, the New Testament preachers preached Christ. He was their theme. He was their focal point of all that they taught. We read that when Philip went down to Samaria, he preached Christ and his kingdom, Acts chapter 8. To the Ethiopian, he preached Jesus, Acts 8 and verse 35. Paul said he preached Christ and him crucified, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Would that all who claim to be preachers today would preach Christ. Leave off their deathbed emotionalism, their personal testimonies, their book reviews, their social reforms, their politics, their creeds, their manuals, their disciplines, their prayer books, their catechisms, all the human philosophies and pseudoscience and entertainments. Now, preaching Christ, that includes all that is revealed concerning him in Scripture. This is where we learn of Christ in Scripture. From his pre-existence as deity before the beginning, his time on earth, all that transpired, his present rule and reign in heaven, his return, his judgment, all this is embodied in preaching Christ. One could not include everything that must be preached in one session, lest it extend longer than the mind could comprehend, but there is much in preaching Christ. Now, preaching Christ includes preaching about his ascension into heaven at the conclusion of his earthly ministry. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 24, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and carried them up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Amen. And then from Acts chapter 1, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, in our lesson, we want to ask and answer some questions regarding the ascension of Christ. Where was Christ when he ascended? When was this done? To where did he go? And probably the most important question of all, why? Now, in terms of years, it was nearly 2,000 or over 2,000 years ago. More specifically, it was 40 days after his resurrection, after he had showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. He had appeared to many as evidence of his resurrection, as many as 500 at once. At least 12 different and specific appearances of Jesus after his resurrection are recorded in the Bible. And during the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension, he was teaching his apostles concerning the kingdom. Even as he was soon about to leave them right until the last, he kept instructing them about the kingdom. Now, his ascension was at the close of his earthly sojourn. He had been born of the Virgin Mary nearly 33, a little more, years ago. The last 3.5 years had been spent in accomplishing his mission. You see, Luke tells us that Christ had come to seek and save the lost. His mission was to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Christ provided the way of salvation for mankind. Now, that was his work, and his work was completed. Having finished the work that thou gavest me to do, Jesus said in John 17, and he returned to his state of glory from which he had come. He ascended while witnesses beheld him. Human eyes had never seen such a thing as that, and their eyes followed him upward until he was no longer in their sight. He was received up into the clouds. Now the value of this witness was immeasurable in the labor that these men were soon to undertake. They could preach in full confidence the truth concerning the whereabouts of Jesus. With great emphasis they could declare what they had seen and what they had heard. And that's what they did declare, in preaching Christ. From where did he ascend? Well, he left a world that had received him not, a world that indeed was unworthy of him or the blessings that he offered unto the world. He left a world abounding in sin, in unrighteousness, where people were undeserving and without merit. The irony of the life of Christ on earth is that he came for man's good, but the world hated him. Light had come into the world, John 3, but men loved the darkness of their sins. They subjected the just and holy one to abuse and maltreatment that was even too terrible for the worst sort of criminal. Now, geographically, the location of the ascension was near Bethany, which was near Bethlehem, near Jerusalem. Only once did Christ ever go beyond the borders of Palestine. His life was spent in a very small area, and we marvel at the influence of one who traveled no more than Jesus did. The actual spot from which he ascended was the Mount of Olives, not far from the home of his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus, just about a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. He ascended from a place that has often gone for prayer, where he had often gone for solitude, where he had often gone to take his apostles, and he had gone there for rest and gone there for teaching. And those who had visited this area, even in our own day, they comment on how the entire surrounding presence of was a garden-like environment, a very peaceful atmosphere. And where did he go? He went to a place that was invisible to the human eye. The Bible says he went out of their sight. He went to a place of rank and power, because, as Paul said, he is now seated at the right hand of God, Colossians 3 and verse 1. And when he ascended, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, Hebrews 1 and verse 3. And this designates a place of rank, a place of honor, a place of authority, a place of unexcelled power. And Luke 24 tells us that he was carried up into heaven. Now this means that when Jesus ascended, he went to that great spiritual realm of joy and peace and goodness and purity. He went to the same place that is promised to those who come to him and those who live faithfully according to his will. What a marvelous thought it is, dear friend, to know that where Jesus went is not out of our reach. It's within the reach of human beings because he made it so. He went to an unseen world, but yet he is near enough to see us. He's near enough to sympathize with us. He's near enough to watch over us and to provide for us. And he intercedes on our behalf. What is even more wonderful, it seems, that we can go where he is, John chapter 14. Now, the mission of Jesus here on earth was to make it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins that separates us from God, and we can go and dwell with him forever in a land of eternal life and heavenly reward that will be given by deity. But now, why did he ascend? Well, it seems to me that of our inquiries, this is certainly the most important of them. Now, there are a number of reasons we can consider. Some of them are explicitly stated. Other reasons are implied. Let's take a look at some of them. He went to receive his kingdom. Now, some folks think the kingdom hasn't come as yet. They think he's going to establish an earthly kingdom. Friend, that's not so. He's not going to come down here and reign for 1,000 years on an earthly kingdom. In Luke chapter 19, in the parable that Jesus taught, where he pictures his going away and his coming again, and Christ shows that he went away, as the Bible says, to receive for himself a kingdom. In Daniel chapter 7, it's prophesied of the event when the one who is named the Son of Man, that would be Christ, would go to the Ancient of Days, that would be the Father, and would be given a kingdom. When Christ ascended into heaven, he was given his kingdom. Now, this being a king over a kingdom was announced before his birth, that he would be on the throne of David. And his was a spiritual kingdom, friend. Understand that. He said it's not a kingdom of this world. It's not an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And while on earth, he foretold of the coming of that kingdom. In fact, he said some standing before him and listening to him talk would not taste of death until they saw the kingdom of God come with power. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Well, if the kingdom hasn't come, we've got some old people around some 2,000 years. This idea of an earthly kingdom and Christ is going to come and sit on a throne for 1,000 years is one of the most absurd inventions of man in religion. Christ identified a power would come when the kingdom would come, and that power would be the Holy Spirit. And we read that the Holy Spirit did come on the day of Pentecost. And he even foretold certain signs that would appear whereby we could know the coming of his kingdom, and those signs took place. Furthermore, he promised his apostles that he would send them a comforter, and that comforter would be the Holy Spirit when he left. He said it was expedient for him to go away. The misunderstanding of the nature of his kingdom, even among his apostles at that time, it made it needful for him to remain on this earth no longer. He would be hindered if he did while in the flesh and subject to certain limitations and persecutions. But while he could go and be a king and a priest, he could not be a king and priest on this earth. You see, our Lord was of the tribe of Judah. They're not the priestly tribe of Levi. And the earth is God's footstool, not his throne, Stephen said in Acts 7 and verse 49. And having made all the necessary preparations for his return, having fulfilled the work that he was sent to accomplish, he ascended back into heaven to fulfill the prophecies that had been foretold concerning him and his life on earth. Now, in addition to these reasons, we have that explicitly stated by Christ himself, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, we have his very own words as to why he returned, do we not? You see, God's word teaches us that Jesus is our Savior, and he reigns in heaven, and we can be thankful he was lifted up in this fashion. He was lifted up on the cross and from the tomb and into heaven, and in these ways he became our Savior. How grateful we can be for the life of Christ, for the fulfillment of his mission, but that he was ascended into heaven. Now, this has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.